Well, good morning and welcome back to the God School. We're constantly attempting to present God and His Word that it might grow, that it might deepen in growth in us, in that when we encounter that which is contrary to God's word and to walk in this world, that encounter of adversity to God's word seems to be happening more and more. But we have His word on which we hope, which we cling to. This morning, I want to go to a Psalm of David. We probably have more written about David than any person in the Old Testament. And I'd remind us this morning of an old truth, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, that the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And as we spend time this morning, my prayer, God's hope, is that the seed of God's life that He has planted in fathers, in Christians, shall be watered and fertilized and grow stronger. I want to go to the 138th Psalm this morning. Probably over the last 17 years, I have done hundreds, maybe more than, well, hundreds, I don't need to exaggerate, hundreds of tours at the Bible Museum. And there is hardly a tour that I give that I don't pull out the words, some of the words in this psalm. This morning I want to take the whole psalm and this Psalm of David, a man of whom it is said that of God, that he was a man after his own, that is God's own heart. We read of the high points, the victories of David, throughout those sections of Scripture that talk of him. But we also read of the low points. There is no particular incident that we have where this psalm is credited to, but I would have you hear David's words, and I'd have you see David's heart. And his mind this morning. He says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Oh, what? Gods? The Hebrew word is Elohim. It's the same word that starts this whole revelation of God, wherein it says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Unseen, but nonetheless present. He goes on, he says, I will worship toward thy holy temple. My recommendation is that there's a reference in my Bible that brings you to 1 Kings 8, 29. We're not going there this morning. But this is Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. I recommend that you make an effort and go read that whole chapter. I think that it will produce empathy in us with some of these figures from the Old Testament. I would, when you read it, I'd have you count how many times Solomon uses the word forgive. That's just a side note, no extra charge. I will worship toward thine holy temple and praise thy name. Why? For thy loving kindness, thy grace, and for thy truth. In John 17, Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, makes that declaration, makes that proclamation that thy word is truth. And praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for you have For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. This is the phrase that I use in the beginning of most of the tours at the Bible Museum. Not only is His Word most important to us, but David declares that God has magnified His Word above all His name. The Hebrew root of the word being translated magnified is gadol. It means to grow. It means to become great, to become important, to become promoted. It means to make powerful, to praise, to magnify. It means to do great things. It means to twist together, to bind together. The picture is threads twisted together. Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. He's talking to God. And he says, in the day when I cried, Thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. We spoke of the old concealing the new and the new revealing the old. We have an experience communicated by Paul where he was facing troubles. And he says in the 8th verse of the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Doesn't matter. He talked about a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. It doesn't matter. The source of our trouble. Paul sought the Lord three times that the trouble might depart. And Jesus Himself answers. Jesus said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul's response then to that is, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in my necessities, in my persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I made strong." In the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. David looked to a day where he says, all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Today, you and I have been graced with ears to hear. Not all have ears to hear. David says there's a day coming when all will hear. Yea, he goes on to say, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet he has respect unto the lowly. Just point this out, that this word, respect, it's the same word that many times the King James translators, the Hebrew word is yare, it's the same word they translate fear. And I've often pointed that out. That we're being sons and daughters of God, our attitude when we see that word, fear of the Lord, we're not fearing, we're not trembling, we're not shaking in our boots. But we want to please. We want to act respectfully. And here it says, though the Lord be high, yet he has respect unto the lowly. But the proud, he knoweth afar off. I will glory in my weaknesses, infirmities, even in persecutions for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I made strong. The Lord has respect to that kind of person. And answers their cry. But the proud, he knoweth afar off. It says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Anything in that verse 7 of this Psalm 138 ring a bell? How about Psalm 23? Though I walk through the valley of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff do comfort me. That's the third verse. How about the second verse? You restore my soul and lead me in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. And he goes on further, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. Ooh, I like that one. And thy right hand shall save me. Can't tell you why. But as I was spending time in this psalm, I was moved to go to my Bible, to the 51st chapter of Isaiah, and it says, God speaking, "Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, and we..." Who are living by faith, know righteousness, because God equates faith with righteousness, not our righteousness, but his. As faith is a gift, so is righteousness a gift of God. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. We could say word. Fear ye not the reproach of man, neither be ye afraid of their revilings, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, my salvation shall be, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake. We can pray. For David says, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Jesus, heir of all things, by whom also the worlds were made, who is the outraying of his glory, the express image of his person, who by the word of his power holds all things together, who by himself purified us from our sins and sat down at the right hand of God, and thy right hand shall save me. I don't know how many times over the years I have referred to this Hebrew word being translated save. It is Yasha. It is that root from which we get the name Yeshua, the name Jesus. Of which the best translation I've heard is God, our helper. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. It is that word perfect means to bring to completion. It does not say that we will perfect ourselves. It does not say that we will bring ourselves to completion. It says the Lord will complete or make perfect. Whoo! That which concerneth me, thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. First Thessalonians, 5th chapter, 24th verse. Let's go to the 23rd. I learned this from my pastor, Dr. Scott. 23rd King James translation is, "And the very God of peace shall sanctify you wholly." And Gene, with his expertise in the Greek, completes the thought, "And the very God of peace shall sanctify you wholly," over there. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that's calling you. Faithful is he that's calling me. Who, that is the caller, that is God, that is our Father, who will also do it. And David ends this Psalm 138 and we can add this to the message of last week. That message, it says, we are in good hands. And it talks of the potter and that we are the clay. And that God is making over again the vessel that was marred in his eyes. And we are reminded in David's final prayer, forsake not the work of thine own hands. Jesus, or the Father, says, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. We are the work of God's own hands, and we have the confidence of his promise that he will not forsake us. We have this great word of promise. This Psalm 138. It's worthy to spend time in. I pray that all that hear this message might be strengthened by spending time in this wonderful Psalm of David. A man whose heart is after God's own heart. And that's the God School for today.